The Navi Yeshaya, we're up to what they call the 46th chapter, the 12th Pasuk. The Navi, we learned last week, said, look at the Ribbon Shalom, Hashem foretold what would be coming. And Hashem says, it's my plan that will play itself out in this world. V'chol cheftzi yaseh, I will do what I desire. The Navi said, I call out the vulture from the east, and we saw a different pshat, and who is the vulture? Is the vulture the Babylonian Empire? Is the vulture Avram Avinu? And Hashem says, I will bring the man who will implement my plan from afar. What I've said is what will be. I've formed this world, and I will ensure that my plan plays itself out. And this idea, Rav Nevenzal says that's the theme of Rosh Hashanah, Malchuyot, Hashem is king of the world before creation, Zichronot, Hashem pays attention to what we do during our life, and Shofarot, Hashem has an ultimate plan. Within that plan we have Bchira Chofshit, but there is a direction to the world. It's not a free-for-all. Hashem says there is an end goal, and we're going to get there. The Navi continues in Pasuk Yud Bet. Shimu Elai Abiri Lev. Listen to me, you who are strong-hearted. Abir means powerful. Shimu Elai, listen to me, you who are Abiri Lev, of a powerful heart. What does that mean, a powerful heart? So we have two conflicting interpretations. One interpretation is Abirei Lev means they're powerful in retaining the right direction in spite of the temptations of their neighbors. He's talking to Am Yisrael, who is among the nations. They're out in Babylon. All around them people are pagans. The culture is paganistic. And they retain their faith to the Ribbon Shel Olam. And that's who the Navi is talking about. Harechokim mitzedakah, who have held on to their relationship with their Ribbon Shel Olam over this long journey, and they don't see Hashem's charity towards them. Harechokim mitzedakah, they feel distant from Hashem's kindness. So that's one interpretation. Then there's an opposite interpretation, which we'll come back to, we'll revisit. This interpretation is the one Rashi goes along with. Kiravti tzidkati lo tirchak. Hashem says, I'm going to bring my righteousness close to you. It won't be so far anymore. Utshuati lo teacher. And when the time comes for my saving you, well, it's going to happen. It's not late. V'natati v'tzion teshua. I will bring salvation to Zion. I will ultimately bring my glory upon Israel. Hashem says, when the time comes, it's going to happen. So that's one pshat here, that's the pshat Rashi goes with. There's an alternate pshat, which says, Abirei Lev is not complimentary. That when the Navi describes the people whose hearts are powerful, it means they're powerful in holding themselves back from doing what's right. Abirei Lev, they're powerful. They hold on to their convictions in spite of the facts, in spite of what they see. Harechokim mitzedakah, who keep themselves distant from doing what's right. Yeah.
It would seem when I heard that people have conviction, they may think in their heart is right. Conviction is
a correct conviction, but in reality, it goes against what's actually
truly right.
And
they're saying,
because
like, is that true?
It's very often that we all develop certain convictions, and we all have a challenge to revisit those convictions. We don't want to cause a mess in our perspective on the world. It's very hard to convince a person to reanalyze.
I think I was thinking recently. You have a lot of times people think what's right is what's against it, what they want to do. I think that's like saying it's exactly correct. Like, it doesn't make a difference what you want or don't want to do. It's really what's reflection of thought.
Yeah. So that alternate interpretation, that Abire Lev is those who harden their heart, those who retain their attitude in spite of what they see. It's talking about the Babylonians who would continue being cruel to Israel after they had conquered them for years. And the Rechokim Mitzdakah, they keep themselves distant from being kind to the Jewish people. Hashem says, Kiravti Tzidkati, I will bring the time where Israel will have my kindness, my righteousness, and I will save them. That's a second interpretation. And the Gemara says that an application of that in the Gemara's days, Abire Lev, the Gemara says, in Babylon, they used to have the masses gathered to learn Torah. Twice a year, people would take off and come learn Torah in the central academies. And it says there was such a gathering. What? How long were they learning Torah for? It sounds like a week. That they had a week Pesach time and a week Sukkot time, where everyone would gather to learn Torah. Awesome. And the Babylonians should have been so impressed by the sight. I guess it should have been such a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, seeing all these Jews gather. They should have converted, the Gemara says. And they didn't have converts from that area. It says, Govai Tipshai. The Gemara says you have twice a year the Jews are gathering and you see them and you get to be impressed by them and you're still not attracted. You don't decide, maybe I should leave my paganistic ways. That, says the Gemara, are the Abire Lev. So the Gemara, that's the pshat the Gemara seems to be going with. Yes, Binny.
It's very clear that they were cruel to the Jews, but I'm saying cruel to everybody. Now, okay. I know that they were cruel to everybody, but there is, wasn't it Nebuchadnezzar that he would pick a different king every night to violate? I'm saying, like, how are we going to distinguish and say that he was so much worse to the Jews than...
I don't think the point was Nebuchadnezzar. I think the point was the Babylonian people. Ridi ushvi al afar. The Navi is turning to the Babylonian people, and just as the Navi speaks to the Jewish people as a woman, Echaya Sheva Badad, the book of Echa, and throughout the Navi Yeshaya, the Navi speaks about Zion as this girl, so too now the Navi is turning to Babylon, and he's speaking to Betulat Bat Bavel, the virgin of Babylon. And the reason she's called a virgin is to indicate the idea that she's never had a master, she's never had in Hebrew, Baal can mean a husband, it could also mean a master. And the idea is that Babylon enjoyed a long golden era where no one took over, no nation took over. So the Navi says they're like a young girl that's never had responsibility. She's never had anyone tell her what to do. So the Navi tells her, Babylon, you've enjoyed this golden era. It's over. Ridi ushvi al afar. Get off your pedestal, get off your throne, sit down on the dirt. Betulat bat bavel. You, the young maiden of Babylon, shvi la'aretz en kisei bat kasnim. Sit down on the earth. You're not going to have a throne, you Kasdim, which was the nation who joined forces with Bavel to destroy the first Beit HaMikdash. Ki lo tosifi yikru lach raka va'anuga. You will no longer be called the pampered woman. Until now, you've had a pampered life. The Navi says it's over. Now, this is interesting because the Navi Yeshaya is prophesizing this even before the Babylonians ascended to destroy Israel. A century will pass before this prophecy will come true. Take yourself the mill and grind yourself flour. This is what they used to do when they'd capture people. They'd give them this menial, difficult task of grinding flour.
Without refining?
It says, Kichi Rechaim, take a mill. Take.
That was like a millstone,
no? Yeah. Galit Chespi shovel, galishok ivri ne'arot.
Respectable women in ancient times used to cover themselves, and they'd have this veil that wherever they went, they could see out, and people couldn't see in. So the Navi tells her, "Gali tzamateich, reveal your cover." In modern Hebrew, Tzama is a braid in modern Hebrew. In ancient Hebrew, so the word tzamateich, your tzama, what is tzamateich? One interpretation is that that's your arms. The other interpretation is your veil. So gali tzamateich, reveal your respectable covering, whichever one that is, if that's her sleeves, if that's her veil. Chespi shovel, reveal your feet that walk the path. Again, the word shovel comes from the word shevil. Shevil means path, and here the question is, what did he mean? Reveal the path. Does he mean, is that a euphemism for her legs? So he says, reveal your legs. Or is he saying, you're going to have to clear the path of all the water because you're going to have to be exiled, Babylon. So the Navi is describing how Babylon was a pampered girl. Now she's going to be taken down to do menial tasks of grinding flour, of picking up her sleeves and doing physical labor. Chespi shovel, which either means reveal the paths in order to take your journey into exile, or it means reveal your legs as you will go into exile. Galishok, reveal your thighs as ivri ne'arot, you will have to pass through the rivers and you won't have a ship to pass by, so you'll have to lift up the skirt so that you can walk through the rivers and not stumble. Here Chazal understand the word gali shok, reveal your shok, indicates that the shok has to be covered. From here the Gemara learns shok beisha erva. If the shok is revealed, it's considered that a private part is revealed. Well, what is the shok? Oh, so that's a machlokas. Is shok the bone between your knee and ankle? And that's what the Gemara is saying, that when the Pasuk says reveal your shok, so it's talking about the bone between your knee and your ankle, and that's supposed to be covered by women. So that's a majority opinion, that's the Chazanish's opinion. And there's another opinion that says that the shok is the bone that goes from the torso to the knee, what we call the lap, the femur. So that's the pshat the Mishnah Brura goes with. That's why in Jerusalem you'll see the Beis Yaakov girls have skirts that go just beneath the knee, because they say so long as you cover the knee, the shok is covered. Well, it's a machlokes. What was the Navi saying here? What is the shok? When the Gemara derives from this pasuk that shok beisha erva, the shok is a private part that has to be covered, was the Navi describing that a person should cover themselves to the ankle or to the knees? So two opinions in halacha. Tiga leuvateich, gam terayeh, cherpateich. The Navi says, your privacy will be revealed. Your shame will be revealed. As you, Babylon, will suddenly have to uncover yourself in your exile. Remember, they took the Jews into exile completely naked. Hashem says, I will take revenge for what you've done to my children, to Israel. And lo efga adam, I will not... So here the question is, what is the word efga? Either efga means pigia in Hebrew, means to make a request. Is Hashem saying, I won't ask a human to take my revenge on my behalf? I will let you, the downfall of Babylon, happen on its own. And this fits with what they found on the Arch of Babylon, that the Persian Mede Empire was invited by the Babylonian people to take over Babylon. We don't know if that's true, but they found an arch. Archaeologists found an arch that describes how the Persians and Medes were invited by the Babylonians to take down the Babylonian Empire. So that might fit with this pshat, that it didn't require this massive war. We know that there was a massive war. The question is, when did that happen? Meaning the Navi and Yeshaya described how they'd go to war in the middle of the meal of Belshazzar. So we have one description of a war, and then we have an archaeological description without a war. And the Navi over here tells us that the downfall of Babylon, at least the way Rashi interprets the words Lo Efgadam, Hashem won't summon a human to take down the Babylonians. It will be a process without the humans or a human enemy causing it. That's one pshat. There's a second pshat that says that Lo Efga means I won't accept the request of man. That it's not Hashem saying, I won't ask of man to bring about this destruction, but rather Hashem is saying, I won't accept their requests. Even if they daven to me, even if they pray to me, I won't accept those requests. Babylon is doomed. Again, the Navi is talking a century before Babylon has even committed the atrocities. Meaning the Navi Yeshaya is prophesizing all of this before Babylon has even come to power. Yes?
So I wanted to say about the tefillah, yeah, the tefillah. But on another note, we're sure it wasn't a threat. They were saying, like, come fight us in the Arch of Babylon.
I don't know. I didn't hear you, Ethan.
It's a corny, by the way, but what does that mean, that they invited them to destroy them?
It sounds, I don't know if we can trust what was etched into an arch, but what archaeologists found is that the Persian Medes felt that their government was an unjust government and that the citizens would get better treatment under the Babylonians and under the Persian Medes, and so they switched sides. The people asked for the Persian Medes to enter. And what the arch describes is how the Persian Mede Empire said they will give equal rights and that no man will be harmed under their government, which is unique, which is the exact opposite of what the Babylonians did. The Babylonians said, anyone that's under us will be treated like an animal, as we saw earlier. The Navi says here how much they pained them. But again, I wouldn't be so quick to believe the arch. We don't know who wrote that arch and what their intention was.
Goaleinu Adonai Tzevaot Shemo.
The Navi says our Redeemer is Hashem who controls the armies. Kedosh Yisrael. He's the Holy One of Israel. So the Navi has begun describing the downfall of Babylon. He's describing that Babylon will be exiled. He's describing that Babylon will pay for their cruelty against Israel. And we'll pick up here, Bezalel Hashem, next week.